A wonderful day. April Fool's Day. No one's really sure about the origins of April Fool's Day. It goes back to perhaps as early as the 13th or 14th centuries. Since the 18th century in Great Britain, Great Britain has been celebrating April Fool's Day with hunting the guak, which is a cuckoo bird, correct? You don't even know anything about that, do you? where they send people on phony errands, they get great laughs out of that. But April Fool's Day is a day of pranks in which we like to share laughter with one another. For example, like those plastic eggs I shared with you earlier, try super gluing them closed sometimes and handing them out. Or if you have young children in the house, the night before, put the cereal and some milk in it and then freeze it overnight and serve it to them in the morning. Take a loved one's eyeglasses and put it in a mold of Jell-O. Make them then dig it out. Take the cream out of the Oreo cookies and put toothpaste. And you know, candied apples, put the caramel over onions. People must really enjoy those types of things, because as I was researching it, there was a long, long list of all the types of pranks that you can share on those people you really care about. And so it's All Fool's Day. All Fool's Day. And we are indeed all fools in our own personal and wonderful way. For example, we just ended the season of Lent. And you know, the season of Lent is when you have the second chance to do your New Year resolutions. Or maybe for Lent you give up your New Year resolutions. But we all celebrate foolishness as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, where in defeat there is victory, where in death there is life. It's easy to feel foolish in life. After all, I raised 3 children. Now with a 6.5-year-old granddaughter, I know how foolish it is. It's proved in this hunting for Easter eggs on Easter morning. Because it shows if kids really want to find things, they will. But the importance of the resurrection is looked at with the people of the early church, because they were searching. People who came from a Jewish background, many followed the teachings that denied life after death. There was no resurrection. There's no sense of an immortality. In their readings and writings, you can see references to Sheol. Now, this is a shadowy existence that is bleak and grim that follows life. And there you are separated from the world, and you're also separated from God. For many centuries, the people of Israel saw God as one over their nation, the collective of people. The descendants of Abraham, as many as the stars. But yet there was the question if it was possible to have a relationship with God as a part of this large body of people. Was the individual just an unimportant unit of the whole? Over a period of time within the religion, there is an effort for it to become more and more personal to the individual, to the person. But then they became caught up in legalism and regulations and rules in which people were trying to earn God's favor and to earn a personal relationship. What of a relationship established once someone comes to know God? What of a relationship in which one is known by God? What of a relationship to be close to God, to be precious to God, that not even death would break it? Where was the hope? It's so easy to feel foolish. Raise your hand if you're under 20 years of age. I want to share a list of things that actually existed, and you tell me if it's April Fool's or not, okay? Back in 1995, we used pagers. I get these questioning looks. Do you remember back in ordering out of a catalog when you didn't even know when it would be delivered? Do you know there was a time, can you believe it, that we had to develop film and wait to see our pictures? So you don't know if I'm fooling you or not. If you missed a television show, you could tape it. Back then, you had to memorize phone numbers. There was no caller ID. I know how all of you did it. You listened to the answering machine to see whether you wanted to answer the phone or not. And the infancy of this thing called the Internet. So you don't know if I'm fooling you or not. Look at the people from Greek background. They actually feared death. They understood God to be a fiery spirit, and that spirit dwelt within the human body. But immortality? There is a complete dissolution of the individual in death. In death, the spirit returned to God. It was absorbed into God's divinity. Personal immortality did not exist. The early church was searching for hope. There is a feeling of the individual could become lost amongst the whole or amongst the many. There was a story about the Easter egg he was trimming the bushes around the house. As he was trimming, he looked down in the bushes and he looked. And he looked again. He said, "Junior, I haven't seen you since last Easter." See, the Easter egg was there all year round, you know, just sitting there because no one found it. You see, the Easter egg was sitting there because no one found it. But this sense of being lost emphasized in the early church the importance of the resurrection of Jesus. And that the encounters with Jesus, he was seen as he was before the resurrection, before the crucifixion. He was recognizable by his disciples and by his friends and by his followers. The realization that the individual personality survived the death and the resurrection. That everything that makes a human being a person will survive and will continue. With that, a sense of hope, the realization of what can yet come. A sense of hope and a sharing of the good news. The good news that is to be shared and received within the fellowship and within the community of Christ. We read of Mary Magdalene and Mary. They go to the tomb and there they are instructed to go. They are to go and tell His disciples and tell Peter what they had seen, what they had experienced. To experience the resurrection and the new life with one another. A Jesus of love and of grace can be seen in His words and His desire to comfort Peter. Tell Peter. Peter, who suffered from the heartbreak of one who had acted so wrongly. But is the Jesus of grace and compassion that tells the women to go and to greet Him. Paul, in his writings, talks about that we are being saved. It is never completed in this lifetime. But we continue to encounter the living Jesus, the risen Jesus in our lives each and every day. That Jesus will continue to journey with us and travel with us and look for us and to be with us. Your last chance. There's an Easter egg couple. Come on now. Get in the spirit of the day. Couple, man and woman, Easter eggs. They're in the witness protection program. So they're off on a distant beach. After a period of time, they become kind of depressed. The realization, because one of them says, you know, they'll never stop looking for us. I told you it didn't get any better. But the risen Jesus never stops looking for us. Never stops looking for us to share with us the hope of the resurrection. And to see the risen Jesus of one who is yet one of grace and compassion. Yes, we are foolish. But we are surrounded by others who support us in their own foolishness. It is said, when you feel you've made a fool of yourself, those around you don't make you feel like you've done a permanent job. But yet, we continue in our foolish journey. Because we have been shared a relationship with the risen Lord. We are fools for the resurrected Jesus. Amen.